Very weird day in the world of sports, and the Houston sports scene, which has been under the magnifying glass for a while, continues to be that and be weird. So why not go to somebody who's right there on the morning show at Sports Radio 610? Sean Pendergast joins us again. And Sean, I appreciate you even coming back after I've been such an ugly Yankee fan to you in the past.
It's all good, man. You know how far off the radar baseball is for us right now down here in Houston? I'm happy to come on. This is the fourth out-of-market interview that I've done today, and I realize our place in the sports universe in Houston right now. We're like that weird zoo animal that only shows up for like a month out of the year, and you better get there and see the three-eyed bear before you've gone to the next zoo. So I don't mind you guys with your face pressed up against the glass looking how weird Houston is right now. It's all good.
It's funny. LeVac looks like a three-eyed bear, so it's
happens.
Pretty funny.
It does happen.
Well, he's fitting great with the Texans.
Right.
Well, I might be the only one then. Sean, what's going on down there with this Texans organization that looked so close to being championship level for so long, and now a guy like J.J. Watt's out?
Yeah, it's something that they'll may do a 30 for 30 someday about if it keeps going in the direction that it's going in, because you're right. Forget what market brought it up today, but they really hit home when they listed all the Pro Bowlers that were on the team as recently as 2018. This is a team that in 2018 had Deshaun Watson as his quarterback, DeAndre Hopkins, first-team All-Pro wide receiver. J.J. Watt was All-Pro that year in 2018. Jadeveon Clowney was on that team. Tyrann Mathieu was on that team. It's a really good football team. They went 11-5, nine-game winning streak that year. Cal McNair put a lot of people in the wrong positions. He made bad decisions as far as empowering people. Probably the most catastrophic one. Well, the most catastrophic one may still be playing out with Jack Easterby still in the building. But I think the one that's going to maybe resonate more with an audience that's not in Houston is Bill O'Brien being named the general manager in addition to the head coach, because that's what led to trading DeAndre Hopkins for nothing. It led to a lot of really bad contracts. It led to them gutting their draft to get Laremy Tunsil. It led to Bill O'Brien eventually getting fired, which put Jack Easterby in an even bigger position of power. He's the executive vice president of football operations, who just 3 years ago was a team chaplain in New England. Yes, your audience, if you don't read SI.com, know that the Texans have a guy who is a team chaplain who's now in charge of everything in the building. So it's weird. It's just days like this are not fun. They're sad, but you're happy for J.J. Watt that he's getting out of here.
Sean Pendergast with us right now talking about J.J. Watt and everything else. And I don't want to leave off of that because, when we could travel and the world was open, you were nice enough to talk to me and my daughter. We went down and we saw J.J. Watt. We saw your Texans play. What kind of hole does J.J. Watt leave in the community in Houston?
That's a really good way to put it, is in the community, because J.J.'s legacy here, great a football player as he is, and he's going to go first ballot into the Hall of Fame, in my opinion. Even as banged up as he's been the last few years, when he was in his prime, he was winning three Defensive Player of the Year awards in 4 years. That is enough to get you in. He's just as good a dude. He's just as good a philanthropist as he is a football player. Raised over $40 million in the midst of the Hurricane Harvey fallout. Does so many things. For every one thing that you hear about J.J. Watt doing or see people talking about on social media, I know enough people in the building over there to know that there's five stories for every one that actually comes out of just nice things that J.J. Watt does for people. They don't all have to be seven-figure checks. He's just a good person. So it's going to leave a huge void. I would think that the way it's ending leaves a bit of a void for J.J. that he was never able to even get this organization to an AFC title game, let alone a Super Bowl, is going to be something that nags at him. But I know from following J.J. and covering him for the last year, I've covered him for his whole career, but specifically covering the team the way we have this past year, he was miserable. It was a bad defense that he was on. He was the best player. He got double-teamed more than any player in the league. And he was playing for a coach in Bill O'Brien that I don't know how much of a respect factor there was with O'Brien there. And J.J., certainly not no respect, I would hope, for his general manager skills. Bill O'Brien, the GM, did more damage than Bill O'Brien, the head coach. But I'm happy for J.J. today that he's getting out of here. But I'm sad as a fan that he's leaving. It'll be a huge void, to answer your question. Huge void.
Do things not get better as long as Jack Easterby is there?
It would seem so. I mean, nothing good has happened since Shaq Easterby got here in April of 2019. Nothing really. I mean, they won a division in 2019, but they traded two first round picks to get a left tackle. I mean, I'm not going to relist all the deals. We just went through that. But Jack Easterby, it's the chaos behind the scenes that is really as big a concern as the product on the field. I mean, J.J. Watt is the big news nationally today, but Jamie Rutz was the longtime president of the team. I'm sure you guys saw that headline. Jamie Rutz's face has probably been on ESPN on all these shows where guys yell at each other in the morning. His face has probably been on those shows more in the last 48 hours than they were in his entire 20 years with the team prior to that. And that's no disrespect to Jamie Rutz. Jamie Rutz was the president of the team and in charge of the business side. With a normal football team, this really wouldn't be big news outside of the city. But that it's the Texans and that it's a guy who's very good at his job, who's just up and leaving because he doesn't like the direction the organization is going in, that's notable. And so this is a long answer about Easterby, I know, because you could do a podcast about Easterby if you wanted to and all the havoc that he's caused behind the scenes here. But it's troubling, and the most troubling part is he's not going anywhere. Like, the one person that he needs to impress is Cal McNair, and somehow, even though the organization has backslid to 4-12 and they're about to have their complete soul ripped out by J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson not being here anymore, the owner of the team thinks that the guy does a hell of a job. It's one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen.
Sean, you bring up Watson, and I literally was reaching out to get a hold of you to talk about Watson today, and then the Watt news dropped. What effect does this have on Deshaun Watson? Is this more likely to leave? Could they follow each other somewhere?
Well, those are two separate questions, but they're both good questions. I don't think J.J. Watt – I don't think there was a cause and effect for either guy as far as their futures. Like, I don't think they got together and said, hey, man, if you're out of here, I'm out of here too. I think J.J. Watt was going to be out of here even if Deshaun Watson was coming back this year. I think the team – there was a good chance we wound up at this – juncture, even if Deshaun Watson was totally happy, I think there was a really good chance the team would cut J.J. Watt because they need to get under the salary cap. So J.J. didn't want to be here anymore even with Deshaun. He loves Deshaun Watson. They love each other. But I think J.J. would have been gone anyways, and I think even if they were holding on to J.J., this news today does not affect Deshaun Watson one bit because Deshaun Watson has asked for a trade. You know, he can't be any more entrenched in his stance and saying, I don't want to be here anymore. You know, like J.J. leaving just means maybe he uses a bigger font on his cryptic rap tweets that he's doing, I guess. No cause and effect with either guy. Now, the idea of the two of them going to the same place is intriguing. I think there's only a few teams that kind of line up with being able to get both guys because J.J. is only going to go somewhere that has a chance to win a Super Bowl. Well, chances are the teams that are in the mix to trade for Deshaun Watson inherently probably are not Super Bowl contenders because they're looking, like right now, because they're looking for a quarterback. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's tough. I would say the only teams that might fit a place that both guys could go and compete for a Super Bowl would be, like, San Francisco is a logical one, right? They were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. There were a ton of injuries. I could see both guys winding up there because they'd be a good trade partner for the Texans, I think. Maybe Denver. I didn't make sense as a team that would be a trade partner. But if I'm J.J., I want to know that Deshaun's going there before I sign with Denver. You know what I mean? Otherwise, Drew Locke's not getting anywhere. So it's going to be interesting. I think they're both going to wind up in different places. It gives us a lot to talk. Unfortunately, the end of the road with this whole thing is a team that's probably going to be 1-15 next year.
I mean, you left out Las Vegas. As a Raiders fan, I wouldn't mind if they both went to Vegas.
You know what? I wouldn't mind if I went to Vegas today.
Like, I bet you want to
go to Vegas.
Sean's part of that trade. Deal. Done.
Hey.
Yes. Yeah.
Where does this leave David Kelly?
Oh, the new head coach. God, for a second, I'd go, who? That's right. The new head coach.
Yeah.
Who I didn't know he was until like 10 days ago.
Right.
Right. But I mean, that's the thing. Like, he's a brand new head coach. It's like he walked into a house fire holding a gallon of gasoline.
Well,
it just blew up.
Not like he had, it's not like he had five other teams banging down his door to have him as the head coach. The dude's never even been a coordinator before.
Right.
I think even he was probably shocked that he was getting interest from any of the 32 teams to be the head coach. So I don't think it would matter how big that inferno is. This dude, he said in his press conference when they said, what appealed to you about the Texans job? Why are you taking the job? He said it's one of 32 jobs in the NFL. And I'm going, oh, my God, that's his answer? That's the right answer? That's the only reason you take the job right now? But I had to imagine the Texans were like, dude, we would like it if you'd put us over a little bit more than just we're one of 32 jobs in the NFL. So, where does this leave David Culley? It leaves him with a really bad football team. It leaves him with a team where he'll probably be the scapegoat 2 or 3 years from now, and he'll get all 5 years on his contract scratched out to him. It leaves his grandkids. I don't know if he has grandkids, but he's 65, so I'll assume that he does. It leaves his grandkids with a much bigger financial package than they would have had if he stayed a wide receivers coach in Baltimore. He seems like a really nice man. I will say that. He seems like a really nice man, and around the league, they all say he's a good guy. The problem is when the question, what makes him a good coach, gets asked, the answer is also, he's a really good guy. Like, I need more than he's a really good guy to feel good about the direction of my new head coach.
Sean Pendergast of Payne and Pendergast on Sports Radio 610 down in Houston. And Sean, I got to ask this one. Deshaun Watson, is he the quarterback of the Jets next season?
That's the one I want to see. And I'll tell you that. That is, if you're asking me what trade partner makes the most sense for the Houston Texans, I think the Jets are the ones that make the most sense, especially if Deshaun wants to go there. I mean, that's the thing that people need to understand, regardless of what team that you root for. Deshaun Watson has a no-trade clause, so he's got to want to go there. Now, the word on the street is that he would go to the Jets. He likes New York. He really likes Robert Saleh. And I think as far as trade partners go, the Jets have the most to offer the Texans. First, there's no team other than Jacksonville that can offer a higher pick in this year's draft with the second overall pick. That the deal has to have that pick in it, or you hang up the phone if you're the Texans. But they've got two firsts this year, two firsts next year, second round picks that are, this year that's near the top of the second round, young players in Quinnen Williams, a couple other guys that you could throw into that deal. That's the one where you can shoot for the moon if you're the Texans. And here's the other dynamic that I love about the Jets is that the Dolphins pick third. Right. Of course, it's the Texans' pick from the Laremy Tunsil trade. You'd have to bury your ego to get your own pick back in a Deshaun Watson deal. But those two teams, I mean, you guys know this, the two teams are in the same division. You get a bidding war going. Trade market's never going to line up better than it does right now if the Texans are inclined to move them. As of today, the Texans, and Cal McNair just doubled down on it 2 hours ago in an interview with John McClain here. We're not trading Deshaun Watson. So we'll see. It's going to be really interesting next couple months.
Sean, nobody explains the three-eyed bear better than you, my friend.
There you go. I did something right today.
All right. So when baseball season's back, I'll go back to being the ugly Yankee fan, and I'll come after your Astros. But as of right now, man, I know how much you appreciated J.J. Watt and the people in Houston did. So I feel for you guys, but you better believe I'm hoping to cherry pick him on a team I watch closely.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. I don't blame you one bit. I don't blame you if you're a Jets fan wanting Deshaun Watson. He's a joy to cover and he's a joy to watch, and it's going to be sad to see him leave here. But if the train keeps going, he'll be traded, and you guys can go ahead and book me 2 or 3 more times between now and training camp. The three-eyed bear will be back, I promise you, at some point in the very near future.
Sean, you're the man. I appreciate your time. Get some rest because you know that everybody's going to keep calling.
It's all good. It's all good. I'm here. I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Have a great weekend, fellas. Appreciate
you. Take care.
Me on.
You too. Thank you so much. Sean Pendergast, Payne and Pendergast, every weekday morning down at Sports Radio 610 in Houston. They are the flagship station of the Houston Texans. He's a great guy. It's so funny, too, because like even when I saw him after going back and forth on the radio a handful of times, about Astros are cheaters, Yankees, sure. Whatever. He sees me and my daughter, instantly comes running up. Hey, man, great to meet you.
Oh,
make
nice.
Make sure she knew what was going on. And it was very cool.
Did you bang a garbage can when you saw him?
No. He was on the air.
Really?
Yeah, so
I would have stood under.
No, I was a guest at the Texans facility at that point.
Yeah, you can't do that. Right.
I did not want to.
When he said Quinnen Williams,
I heard you. Yeah.